Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here with us speaking of the arts, and we're going to have a ticket giveaway, not yet, but in the second half of the show, for the Puerto Plata, which is a concert happening tomorrow night at the Lenzic. Right now, I would like to welcome Lois Ellen Frank. She is a culinary anthropologist, a chef, photographer. She's author of the award-winning cookbook, Foods of the Southwest Indian Nations. And she will be at the Santa Fe Master Gardener Association 6th Annual Garden Fair tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, from 10 to 4 in the afternoon is when the whole thing is at the county fairgrounds. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So you are a culinary anthropologist, you're a chef, and you have been growing a garden with native foods for some time.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, once I became a chef and started specializing in Native American cuisine, I decided that for the foods I couldn't get, it would be beneficial to be able to grow them. So I really started to look at what were the indigenous plants, what were some of the indigenous bushes, and now I have an annual garden, and I also have a perennial garden. And in those two gardens, I specialize in foods and berries and herbs that are indigenous, and I use them in my cooking when I teach and also in my catering company.
What does Native American cuisine mean today?
That's what my PhD is on. But Native American cuisine basically is broken down historically over a time continuum, and it includes all of the pre-contact foods, so foods that were in this area before anybody came here. And then it also includes foods, well, I'll talk a little bit about what were the pre-contact foods. So all the wild berries, wild plants, wild celery, wild onions, wild carrots, cacti, all of the game animals that existed in this area, and of course the cultivars, the famous cultivars, corn, beans, squash, and then chilies and tomatoes. And those would constitute the foods that existed before contact. But Native American cuisine also includes foods that the Spanish brought. And when the Spanish came about 500 years ago, they brought with them all of our northern New Mexico apples and our peaches and wheat. And then, of course, they brought sheep, pork, beef. And that changed the existing Native American cuisine, but the academic argument has always been, is that native? And my argument is absolutely yes. It's native first contact.
So before our first contact, were the native people of the Southwest vegetarians?
I would classify it as a dominantly plant-based diet with the adjunct of nuts and then wild game when you could. So dominantly plant-based, and we know now from a health perspective that plant-based diets are one of the most healthiest, and I'm working with a doctor in Washington, D.C. that believes that a totally plant-based diet can reverse type 2 diabetes. So these are really important foods in this contemporary time when health issues, including type 2 diabetes, are exploding.
And when health issues are so much based on diet and are threatening to bankrupt the country. So tell us more about your garden, the annual and the perennial. What are you growing?
I'll start with the perennials. I have wild currants. I grow choke cherries. I found in the land that I have several indigenous plants. So I have the three-leaf sumac, which I've helped to grow naturally and wildly. And three-leaf sumac has little berries, and those berries were the first sumacade or lemonade berry, which was used in this area as it was throughout the country. And I, of course, have pinyons, where I harvest the nuts, juniper, which I use for culinary ash, chamisa, which I use for teas, because they're a good medicinal plant to this area.
Is that right?
Yes.
Chamisa? The chamisa that grows everywhere?
The chamisa that grows everywhere.
That smells bad in the fall?
So well, I think it smells good, but some people have allergies and think it smells bad. But yes, that is an indigenous plant that was used medicinally by the curanderas and also the medicine people of the tribal nations in this area.
Do you actually use it that way?
Yes.
Yourself? How do you use it?
Well, you make a tea. And
just out of the clipping of a leaf.
A clipping of the leaves. And then also, when we talk about culinary ash, which is used with blue cornmeal, when you would make a mush or an atole, that ash brings up the mineral content And the bush that's burned is chamisa, one of the bushes. I also have a four-winged salt bush, which again is another medicinal plant. I have prickly pear cactus. I have yucca, which I eat the flowers and the fruits. And that would be the perennials, the bushes that I've cultivated just on my landscape.
And so those just keep on coming
they
up.
They keep coming back every
basically
year.
Make sure they have enough water and right. fertilizer, and that's it.
Correct. And I do help fertilize them. I use manure and I compost. And so that really helps them produce tons of flowers. Last year I had enough choke cherries. I made a sauce and then froze them. The currants, the same thing. I always leave enough for the animals and I always leave enough so that the plant can repropagate. And those are important factors when you deal with perennials and wild plants.
When you say leave enough for the animals, what do you mean?
Well, I also have in my cultivar, my annual or my cultivated garden, I don't fence it because we have all sorts of wild animals. I have ground squirrels and I have prairie dogs and I have rabbits and I have all sorts of birds. And I know there's going to be a lot of these other talks tomorrow at the garden fair. But I believe that we need to coexist and share with them. So I make sure that when I harvest, there's enough berries for the animals to be able to stock up for the winter and eat and enjoy the bounty of this land as well.
How do you make sure that the animals don't eat your whole entire garden?
Well, they can only eat so much. Unless you have an overpopulation.
Well, for example, I have a cherry tree, and the birds eat every single cherry on it every year. I don't know. I can't remember when I last ate one.
Well, in that case, I would just put a netting on it. But in my, I do have two fruit trees. I have an apple and a pear. And then I would consider that a cultivated fruit. But in my cultivated garden, I have corn, and I use indigenous corn. I grow white corn and blue corn. I grow beans, all of the heirloom beans that I can get my hands on. I go to a lot of the seed conferences and exchange seeds to keep my diversity alive. And then I also grow squash, and I do both summer squash and winter squash, so the soft shell and the hard shell. And I save those seeds, including pumpkins. And then I also grow a variety of chilies, tomatoes, culinary herbs, including sage, tarragon, thyme, cilantro, coriander. I grow catmint, catnip.
So all of these in your own garden, in your
right.
own yard.
Basically. And I have sections. It's not one particular area. And when I do my show tomorrow, my keynote, I'll talk about I have an upper garden, which has a different ecozone than my lower garden, which has a different ecozone than the north garden, which is on the north side of the house. So, you know, facing south and facing north have different ecozones. One has more shade, one has more sun. And so I plant accordingly.
Very interesting. Now, how much do you eat according, do you pretty much eat from your garden?
I had so much mint last year that I will be selling mint tomorrow. I also had coriander seed, and I had an abundance of tomatoes, which I canned, and I will be selling a little of my canned tomatoes, but mostly I use that in my catering, and I've been bartering with the farmers at Santa Fe Farmers Market, where they give me tomatoes, and in exchange, I give them back a canned tomato sauce. So we formed this great relationship, and it's wonderful.
Which is a real model of things that more of us could do if we put our mind to it.
Exactly.
But in other words, so summer, fall, winter, spring, are you pretty much eating from your own garden?
I'm not totally sustained by my own garden. I do adjunct other foods, but I have found that between farmers market and what I grow, I'm pretty good. I had enough tomatoes to be able to eat 2 jars per week throughout the whole year. So
very interesting. It's amazing to think of how much food we really could produce around here, although the numbers with how much water we would need to feed the whole state or something, that's another conversation. But
well, I do a combination, talking about water, which is an issue, of what is called a dry farming technique. In other words, some of the indigenous plants can just subside or exist on what we call floodplain farming, which means that it's really existent on the monsoons. And so you plant accordingly. It might need a little bit of irrigation, so I do have drip lines if I need them. But I do a dry farming in conjunction with drip irrigation. And most of the indigenous plants are designed internally in the plant structure to be able to exist once they're established on very little water.
What about pests and bugs and things like that?
That's a great question. I haven't resolved that. I had squash bugs for 2 years in a row, and I had never dealt with squash bugs. And I did do some research, and I did go to a lot of the gardening experts in Santa Fe, which we're really lucky to have. And I found that there's a product, I asked also some native elders, called Nicotina, and it's basically nicotine from wild tobacco. So I made a solution of a tea, basically, from wild tobacco and sprayed it, which subsided the squash bugs, but it didn't eradicate them. The best method for eradicating them is to borrow someone's chickens or have chickens of your own, because they eat the bugs and they eat them in mass. And so a combination between the two, borrowing someone's chickens tends to be a little difficult, but until I'm ready to jump in and have my own chickens, backyard chickens, I did ask if I could borrow large birds that eat bugs, and that helped a lot. So
and
in between the
out.
Two, yeah.
And they didn't eat anything that they weren't supposed to eat?
Once the plants are established, they don't. Chickens will eat the baby sprouts, so you do have to be careful at the beginning of the growing season because they think, yum, yum, yum. So
we're talking to culinary anthropologist and chef Lois Frank, who will be speaking at the 6th Annual Master Gardener Association Annual Garden Fair, which is tomorrow at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds. So let's say that you are doing your catering business, you're teaching a cooking class, you're working in a restaurant that's serving high-end Native American cuisine. Describe a nice meal that somebody might eat.
Well, I'm actually teaching a class this morning at the Santa Fe School of Cooking, and our menu is going to be a blue corn gnocchi, which is basically a traditional dumpling made from blue corn. We call it gnocchi because everybody can identify with that. It is infused with a little bit of local goat's cheese and locally grown potatoes. And I serve that with a chili sauce and garden greens, and that's the first course. The second course are frozen New Mexico green chilies. I do a lot of freezing and a lot of drying, and I've started to can more and more. And so we're taking New Mexico green chilies and stuffing them with a local lamb, and that's from Shepherd's Lamb from the Santa Fe Farmers Market, and that has an infusion of different culinary herbs, and that's going to be served with my garden tomato sauce. And then for dessert, I'm doing a what I would call a sweet fry bread, where I take a dough and I fry it like a sopapilla. It's sort of the Native American version, and then I'm serving that today with a homemade prickly pear syrup.
Now, how far back does fry bread go?
Well, fry bread is actually the last component on the food continuum of Native American cuisine that I didn't mention with the first two. It's really pre-contact, first contact, and then when Native people were forcibly relocated onto reservations, the government did issue commodity foods, and the fry bread originated during that period about 100 to 150 years ago. And fry bread is what I call a sometimes food, and when we do food education and we talk about what's healthy and what's not, fry bread is certainly not healthy if it's eaten every day, but it is okay if it's eaten sporadically. It's sort of like a tamale that's made with lard. It's not a food that you would eat every day. Traditionally, when we look at when tamales are served, they're served at a couple of times a year and not eaten on an everyday basis. So the health problems began to crop up when these foods, the sometimes foods, began to be eaten on a daily basis when really they're not designed to do so.
Have you done research on Native American health patterns historically? In other words, were our ancestors here in this region basically very healthy, eating healthy diets and so on?
Yes, and the healthiest diet, again, when we go back to what we said at the beginning of the program, which is a largely plant-based diet with the adjunct of a little bit of meat.
And so the little bit of meat is for your protein and basically all your other
Correct.
Nutrients you
and
can get.
And it's also meat that's not per se commercially raised and raised with the adjunct of hormones or antibiotics. I belong to a CSA, which is called Community Supported Agriculture, and I'm a member of Pollo Real, which is a chicken farm down in Socorro. And so by my membership, I get poultry products throughout the year, and that's more than enough meat for me. And then I also buy bison from some of the pueblos when I use red meat, and I buy lamb locally from Shepherd's Lamb. So
and you don't use fish?
I do a little fish. I mostly eat trout. I know a lot of people like salmon, and I do too, but it's not indigenous to this area. So I formed a barter with a Native American group in the Northwest Coast, and in exchange for their wild-caught salmon and their huckleberries, which are absolutely delicious, I send them chili, my tomatoes, and my corn meal, and they send me quantities of foods that are indigenous to their area. So we have a really nice relationship, and then the foods that aren't local, I trade, and it's worked out very, very well. I still have a little bit of Northwest Coast salmon, and I have frozen huckleberries.
So you've written this book, Foods of the Southwest Indian Nations. Has it caught on? Are you finding that people in Louisiana or Connecticut or Idaho or are starting to cook from your cookbook?
Yes, and I also, this morning when I checked email on the way here, I got an email on my website for Red Mesa from someone in Iran asking about our indigenous foods of this area. So there are people on a world level that are interested in what are the native foods of this area and how do we harvest them and how did they originate, and I try and answer all those questions. And there's a lot of information. Some of the other things that I'm going to be offering at tomorrow's garden fair are the posters. And I worked on chili posters with Mark Miller. And actually, the 10 Speed Press, who originally issued these posters, was bought by Random House, and Random House discontinued them. So
those beautiful chili posters that have all the varieties posters on them?
We also have corn, squash, tomatoes, and eggplant. And this is the last of the lot. So whatever I have, once they're sold out, they won't be available. So
oh my goodness.
This is an opportunity for people to get the posters if they haven't already, because they will not be available in the future. Mark and I are going to issue a new poster probably within the next year on Chilies of the World, but it's going to be much different than the original issued posters.
I can't believe they're discontinuing that.
Yeah.
That's so very wrong. So Iran, that's amazing. We maybe we'll start a sister city or sister town program and find out how they eat.
Exactly. So it's very exciting, and we get email, and I have a fan page for Red Mesa, and we talk about what we do and how we do it and what classes are available. And it's just really exciting through the internet and email to be able to keep in touch with people that might not be in this area and keep them updated on what we're doing and what we're growing and what foods we're eating. And so it's very exciting.
What is your website?
Website is www.redmesacuisine.com. So REDMESACUIS.
Are involved in Native American foods that are used in ceremony. What kinds of foods are used in sacred events?
It depends on the tribe. My tribal affiliation is Kiowa, and we use certain foods in our ceremony, but a lot of the ceremonies are very private, so I really do respect those aspects of Native ideology and what those foods are. I don't promote or exploit them, and I leave that to each individual community to make a decision as to what they want to share and how they want to share it.
So the Santa Fe Master Gardener Association 6th Annual Garden Fair is tomorrow from 10 to 4 at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds. When will you be speaking? You have this beautiful PowerPoint presentation with lots of, you're also a photographer, lots of photographs about your work and about foods of this area. When will you be presenting that?
I present at 12:30, and my presentation will be about an hour, and then we will have a booth where we'll be able to talk to people and show them what we've grown and sell some of our products. I also just released a taco book called The Taco Table, and that features local meats and very simple recipes on how to make tacos, and all of the proceeds from that book, I did that book in conjunction with the royalties, go to the park to encourage resource and the use of local sustainable foods in all of the park's restaurants. So that will also be available tomorrow.
And people will also be giving, many other speakers giving speeches on gardening and growing fruits and greenhouses and growing herbs and flowers and all kinds of wonderful things that are going on. For more info, sfmga.org, that stands for Santa Fe Master Gardeners Association. Lois Ellen Frank, thank you so much for being with us in the Radio Cafe.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back speaking of the arts in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's sitting in for Robert Knott. Speaking of the arts, welcome.
Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
It's good to be here.
It's great to be here.
It's a little cold, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's so very cold and terrible and wrong, but it's all right.
It's okay.
We just heard a spot about Patricia Johansson, who's going to be speaking at the Santa Fe Art Institute on Monday, and I've been reading her book, and we're going to have her on the air on Monday morning. And she is a total genius. Everybody has to go to this event. It's going to be so amazing. She is one of these people who works with, for example, let's say she did this in California. A city is going to build a sewage treatment plant. So instead of just building a sewage treatment plant with a fence around it,
that's right.
They plant all these plants that actually have ponds, and then it filters the sewage using the technology of nature, and then creates irrigation and all these things, so that virtually almost no energy is expended, you know, fossil
right.
fuel energy or any of that, and a public park is created, and it's beautiful, and she's an artist, and so all this art is in it. She's unbelievable. She's done this kind of stuff all over the world.
Yeah, she's low impact, not only on the environment, but also on the eyeballs, and she sort of tends to blend things into the environment. There's a great story by our new staff writer, Casey Sanchez, in Pasatiempo today with some of her drawings and photographs of some of her work. It's on page 30.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And so Monday night at Tipton Hall.
It is. 6 o'clock Monday night, Tipton Hall, Santa Fe Art Institute.
Right. And Santa Fe Art Institute is sfai.org or 424-5050.
What'd you do for Earth Day?
I think I was looking for allergy medicines. What'd you do?
Were you doing it on a bike?
No.
Well, let's see. What did I do? I went home, and I didn't really have any power, so I guess I didn't do anything. So I did something by doing nothing.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it.
Low impact, man.
I started a fire, but, you know, I gather my own wood.
Arson?
So. No, not arson. Speaking of fires, however, I got a call yesterday. Apparently, Annapurna had a terrible fire 2 days ago.
Oh, my Lord.
Or 2 nights ago. I don't know the details yet. I'll find out later today. But
good
they're
going
to be closed for a while.
Ooh.
So if you usually go there to see belly dancers, don't bother.
Don't go.
But they could use some community support. And I'll probably post something on my in my food column next Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
About that. But they're I wish them luck.
Yeah.
You know.
That's very sad.
Yeah. Lots of stuff going on this week. Tons of theater. Tons of children's theater. Or youth theater, I should say. But there's one of the first ones is a Santa Fe Performing Arts City Different Players and Teen Ensemble is doing an adaptation of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer at the Armory for the Arts. There's a show tonight at 7. There's a show on Saturday at 2. And there's a show on Sunday at 2. If you call 984-1370, you can get tickets for that.
And Puerto Plata
yes.
is tomorrow night at the Lenzic. What do you know about him?
I don't know much except what I read in the good old Pasatiempo. I haven't even heard his music, but I'm thinking of going because the whole ensemble is going to be there. Yeah,
he's beautiful, beautiful old Dominican guitarist.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing a ticket giveaway. Isn't
that
right?
And by old, you mean seasoned, right? You mean well seasoned.
I mean slightly older than me.
Where could you get tickets at the Lenzic?
Yeah, one pair.
One pair to the what number caller?
To the second caller.
To the second caller, 428-1382.
Hold on, I got to make a call.
And I also want to thank, speaking of giving the phone number, all the people who called to the KSFR one-day pledge drive. It seems that this model, I think it was maybe a little bit slower yesterday, or maybe not, but it seems that this model is still working, doing one-day pledge drives every few months instead of doing these just crazy-making, long... Mm-hmm. long pledge drives, although we will have to go back to those if people don't you know
right.
keep supporting it. So everybody, thank you who supported, and everybody who didn't, please go to ksfr.org and make a little contribution so that people like Rob DeWalt and Robert Knott can stay on the air.
That's
and all
right.
of our wonderful DJs and the news team and so on.
I know. I love the cats versus dog angle of the conversation. Was it yesterday?
That was yesterday.
Did you get my email that I sent yesterday before we got here? I wanted to tell people, this is why dogs are more awesome than cats.
Oh, really?
And this is all I'm going to say. I got an email yesterday, and I thought it was a joke, but I did some research. April 30th is National Hairball Awareness Day.
Oh, yes, that's very true.
And so, you know, it's not a natural activity. It's not a natural thing for cats, but apparently they're a little bit obsessive and they tend to overclean, especially in the spring. So, you know, I'm kind of sticking with the dogs on this one. I mean,
so dogs rule and cats drool.
Well, they hack, actually.
Ah.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, National Hairball Awareness Day, that's a week from today. Maybe you can come back and Robert Knott and you and I will talk about that and give some sound effects.
Yes, absolutely. I'll get my throat ready for that. I'll gurgle.
Did you hear that Steve Martin routine about how he gave his cat a bath?
No.
And how it was just not a problem at all. A little bit of hair on his tongue.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So what else is happening?
Santa Fe Community College is having their spring ceramic sale today from noon to 4 and Saturday from 9 to 4. The Clay Club is hosting the showcase. There's a silent auction and demonstrations at the Fine Arts Center foyer at the Santa Fe Community College, 6401 Richards Avenue. You can get more information by calling 670-5201. What else? Oh, there's an opening at Santa Fe Clay, actually, speaking of clay, called Bricks and Mortar, Inspired by Architecture. It's a group show, and there's a reception from 5 to 7 today. There's a story on page 32 in today's Pasta Tiempo by the great Paul Weideman, and that exhibit is up through May 22nd.
And tomorrow is the beginning. Well, this is actually, we are in National Crime Victims' Rights Week. And tomorrow is an event called Walk a Mile in My Shoes. Esperanza Shelter is commemorating crime victims, saying basta to rising crime in Santa Fe. And so it's a Roundhouse to Warehouse 21 march and party starting at 12 o'clock at the Roundhouse. And what they're asking people to do is decorate shoes, their shoes, sneakers, or whatever kind of walking shoes you want, in memory of or in honor of somebody who has survived some kind of crime. And then walk, and there will be prizes for outrageous shoes and all kinds of things, and DJs and food and so on. For more information, you can go to esperanzashelter.org or call 474-5536.
It's going to be a great event.
I think so.
There's an exhibit at the Rotunda Gallery that has an opening. The State Capitol, main floor. It's called Roots and Visions of the African-American Experience in New Mexico. It's a group show.
Yes, I'm glad you said that.
There's a reception from 4 to 6 p.m. That's up for a while, through July 23rd. I haven't seen anything about the show, but it's supposed to be...
No, we were trying to get some people together on the show, and it didn't quite happen, but we might do something if they do, for example, any lectures in the future, things like that.
Yeah.
But definitely worth seeing. It's, you know, the tricultural myth of Santa Fe does not include our African American brothers and sisters, and so to have a show like this is great. And we've done it. We did a show on this program on Blackdom, which was this community of post Civil War ex slaves who founded this wonderful community in southern New Mexico. And it didn't work out for, eventually, did well for a while, but I guess there was a drought and the water became a problem.
Oh, wow.
But very interesting story.
Well, I'm going to go check that show out today, I think.
Now, the trip to Bountiful.
The trip to Bountiful. There's a bunch of shows of that this week. There's Iron Reed Productions is presenting the drama at 8 p.m. at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe. Tonight at 8 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m., and Thursday at 8 p.m. There's cost for tickets. If you call 660-2379, you can find more information on tickets and whatnot.
And that's a terrific play.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I was watching the rehearsal. I haven't seen the... Well, obviously.
If I can catch one of those performances this week, is it only going on for this week?
No, it's for several weekends.
It's for several weekends. Okay.
And our dear friend Robert Knott is in it.
That's true. That's true. Okay. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. I'm going to go heckle him. No, I won't heckle him. I won't.
Don't heckle him or tickle him.
There's a benefit tonight, actually, from 7 to 11 p.m. at Eagles Lodge on Early Street for Open Hands. There's going to be music by Durango and hors d'oeuvres and raffle and prizes. And if you visit openhands.org or call 428-2363, you can find out more info on that fundraiser. All the nonprofits could use a little boost right now.
So here's another art opening. Thayer Carter and Christopher Benson will be exhibiting paintings at the Fisher Press here in Santa Fe. Both artists draw their imagery from the local New Mexico landscapes and interiors and other subjects as well. There's an opening reception today from 5 to 8 o'clock, and it's at 307 Camino Alire. So maybe a little bit off the beaten track, but for more information, you can call 984-9919. And I've seen Thayer Carter's work. It's terrific.
Yes. Aaron Payne Fine Art is having an opening tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. American Modernism group show, which includes paintings by the Stieglitz Circle. It's from 5 to 7 p.m. That's up to July 3rd, but the openings at Aaron Payne are always fun. What else? Oh, there's an Earth Day event. I hope the weather tomorrow is better than it was
last
night. I hope
so, too. Master Gardeners Association, the big garden fair tomorrow.
Is that in the rail yard? Or is
no, it's in the fairgrounds.
That's
rodeo.
That's right. It's at the fairgrounds. Tomorrow at the Community Farm in San Ysidro Park, over at the new San Ysidro River crossing out there, is tree planting, face painting, hay rides, music, and a picnic lunch from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's no charge for that event, but bring a coat and maybe some galoshes, just in case.
Just in case. One of the regular listeners to our show, John Ressler, is having an opening at the Las Chivas Coffee Shop in El Dorado this coming Sunday from 1 to 3. And I don't know too much about his photographs, but what I'm looking at here looks like he's been to Asia and taken pictures of people with their little boats with, what are those poles called that drag the boats along?
Poles?
Those pole things.
They're just called poles, aren't they?
Poles. Yeah, poles. I'm sure they have a name in other languages.
That's what the gondoliers use?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there is a name for them. Claudia Mar Gallery is having an opening tomorrow from noon to 6 p.m. The Missing Piece, that's P-E-A-C-E. Huh. Artists Consider the Dalai Lama. And that's open through May 1st at Claudia Mar Gallery, 229 C Johnson Street, 988-2100.
Now, it seems like if we listen to this after the show, it would seem totally random. And the reason it's totally random is because I'm reading my email in alphabetical order.
Oh, no.
So tomorrow, Saturday the 24th, there is a talk at the Santa Fe Main Branch Public Library on Washington and Marcy Street called Aromatherapy, Listening to Plants with Deborah Carroll, who will be talking about that and answering questions. It starts at 2 in the afternoon.
Wow. Michael Tarbox on Saturday also. Alt Blues Americana, 7:30 p.m. at Gig Performance Space, one of my favorite small performance spaces in Santa Fe. That's on 2nd Street. I think you can get tickets at the Lenzic. They're cheaper if you buy them in advance, though. You can call 988-1234 to get tickets.
Excellent.
What else is going on? Oh, you got to go to the farmer's market. You know, just because Earth Day is over, Earth Week runs through, I believe, Sunday. So go down to the farmer's market and support your local growers. That's a good way to celebrate Earth Week if you didn't do
it. Yes, it is. And I got inspired by Lois Ellen Frank, who was on earlier during the program today. She grows the most amazing garden.
I know.
I can't grow anything. Outdoors. Indoors, I grow some nice plants. But outdoors, I mean, you know, the $5 tomatoes where you spend so much water growing these pathetic little things.
Yeah.
But, it can be done.
Yes.
And they are showing us how to do it.
Lois is great. She's
amazing.
Fantastic. The last cookbook that I read of hers was on tacos.
Right.
And it just makes your mouth drool just looking at it.
It makes your mouth drool. Yeah. Do you have hairballs?
A little bit.
Hey, here's another thing. Not tomorrow, but Sunday.
Sunday.
The 25th of April, a camera obscura installation is happening. It's a worldwide pinhole day, and it's from 10 to 2 in the boardroom of the Hotel St. Francis. For more information, you can go to campobscura.com. But do you know what a camera obscura is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you explain it to our listeners?
Not really. It's a pinhole camera.
But it's a pinhole camera that's a whole room.
Yeah.
So you basically take a room, darken it, punch a hole in the wall, and then everything that's happening outside will be projected in upside down.
Right, yeah.
In color, if you're lucky.
Onto paper.
Onto paper, onto a blank wall, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I've only done it with the small ones. I've never been in a large room like that. But I wonder if they're going to do that in the lobby there?
Well, it said, what did it say?
The boardroom.
The boardroom.
I didn't even know they had one.
For more information, 231-3758 is the phone number here in the 505 area code.
Site Santa Fe is having, on Tuesday the 27th at 6 p.m., is Kimberly Janarone, I hope I pronounced that right, is having a lecture called Crowds, Cruelty, Communion. She is the UC Santa Cruz Theater Arts Professor, and she's going to discuss the relationship between audiences and performers. It's more in relationship to Terry Allen's piece, Ghost Ship Rodez.
Yeah.
That's up there. And she sort of spent a lot of time maybe a decade ago or even half a decade ago researching the life of Artaud and his work and stuff like that. So she's going to talk about his perfect audience, or his ideal audience, I should say, and relate crowd theory to theater, which
very
sounds interesting. That is 6 p.m., Site Santa Fe, 1606 Museo de Peralta.
Peralta.
It's right near there by Cirillus. You call 989-1199 for more information on that.
Now, Cesar Bobolet and Tradiciones will be playing at the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque at 7:30 tomorrow night, and that's the golden era of Cuban music. It's the 1930s to the 1950s, which
sounds
like great fun. And also tomorrow night, if you are in Santa Fe and don't want to go all the way down to Albuquerque, you can go to the Lodge, and it's time once again for the Mambo Room.
Oh, yeah.
Qué rico mambo.
Qué rico.
At 9 o'clock until 1 in the morning.
You know, this show should be sold out. I'm not sure if it is or not, but on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Brewing Company, Dr. Dog and Deer Tick are performing. It's going to be an awesome show. Tickets are available at the Lensic, 988-1234. Again, the show's at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday the 29th. Also on Thursday the 29th, an author named Jeffrey Kay, who's a regular contributor to the HuffPost, is going to be celebrating the launch of his new book called Moving Millions, How Coyote Capitalism Fuels Global Immigration. This is a fascinating book.
I'm going to have him on the air.
He's great. He's a great interview, and he's so articulate when he talks about immigration, and he doesn't necessarily talk about illegal immigration. He doesn't even want to call it that. He talks more about the migration of peoples and how our sort of global economy affects that migration. There's a whole psychology that goes along with it, you know.
Well, once you understand it, it's so obvious. People go where jobs are.
Yeah.
People do not stay where jobs are not. End of story.
And well, not only that, but it's, you know, for we created those jobs in a lot of places. You know, corporations like Hanes Brands went into Mexico and went into other places and started these big plants and hired a cheap labor force. And then when the tax breaks, and the labor got cheaper in another place, they would close their plant in Mexico.
Right.
So there go all those jobs. What are those people supposed to do? Just hang out?
Right.
You
know? And there's also issues for example, agricultural trade policy, where we have subsidized genetically modified corn that flooded the Mexican market, and so indigenous corn growers went out of business.
Right.
Where are they supposed to go?
Right. Exactly. There's a story in today's PASA by moi, page 24. Again,
by you?
By me.
Oh, good.
And it's, again, the book signing and discussion is at 5 p.m. at Garcia Street Books, 376 Garcia Street.
Yay.
What else is going on? Oh, Santa Fe Art Institute's monthly open studio is also on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Just a meet and greet with the writers and artists in residence down there.
Yeah, sometimes we have them on the air. I don't think we're going to do it this time, but there are sometimes, well, often, extraordinary people among those artists, and you just get a win. Most of them are from elsewhere, so you get a little window into what people are doing in other parts of the country.
Right, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a big sort of art center where they hail from, but it's fun to get a point of view from outside the city or even outside the state. Speaking of outside the city, the 27th Annual Gathering of Nations is this weekend.
Yay.
In Albuquerque at UNM Stadium. It's an all-day event featuring native musicians, storytellers, dancers, drummers. There's an Indian trader market. If you go to gatheringofnations.com, you can get tickets and find a full schedule of events for the weekend.
And let's see, what else is happening? Elgar and Wagner this weekend. Elgar's Enigma Variations and NMSO, New Mexico Symphony Orchestra music director Guillermo Figueroa describes as one of the most whimsical, fanciful, yet gorgeous, thrilling works ever written. And Wagner Prelude to Die Meistersinger and lots of other stuff is happening tonight at 8 o'clock and tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Legacy Church Auditorium. Where's that?
I have no idea. Legacy Church Auditorium?
That's what it says.
Don't know.
Let's see. For more information, call Ay, ay, ay. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. Go to NMSO.org.
And get more information. Thursday the 29th also is Ramblin' Jack Elliott, legendary American folk singer and songwriter. 7:30 p.m. at Corazon.
Oh, okay. This is Albuquerque. Legacy Church. That's why we don't know about it. Okay. Legacy Church Auditorium. Legacy Church Information Directions. It is in Albuquerque. NMSO.org. Okay, go ahead.
Ramblin' Jack Elliott, one more time. Legendary American folk singer and songwriter. 7:30 p.m. Thursday the 29th at Corazon. Tickets are available at the Lenzing Box Office, 988-1234. Also on Thursday the 29th, I'm talking about youth theater. The Desert Academy is putting on the Laramie Project, not the 10 years later version that was here recently.
The original one.
The original one. They are mounting it, I believe Thursday is the first performance, and it runs through the following weekend. So, like, I believe the 30th and whatnot. That is at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday at Desert Academy, 313 Camino Elire.
And they do a great job there.
They do.
They've got wonderful teachers and students.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a good theater program.
They have a great theater program. School for Advanced Research Lecture on the 28th, Preserving Native Collections at SAR, and Native Tourism and Commodifying Culture. It's a presentation by Dominic Henry and Kendall Talmadge at noon, the SAR boardroom, 660 Garcia Street. There's no charge for that either.
Excellent.
Well, there's a whole bunch of, we're gearing up towards May Day, and there's going to be this big sort of May Day celebration in the rail yard. And Wiseful New Mexico is putting on a bunch of free puppet workshops. You know, they have those big, giant bobblehead
puppets.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And so there's one from noon to 4 on Saturday, noon to 5 on Sunday, and 4 to 8 on Thursday. And they're all at Wiseful Studio, which is at 2778D Agua Fria Street. You can go to wisefulnewmexico.org to get more info on that.
Now, on Thursday of next week, also at School for Advanced Research, Lori Santos from Yale University talking about the evolution of monetary irrationality.
Monetary irrationality?
Monetary irrationality, and we are going to be having her on the air.
What does that mean, monetary irrationality?
Exercising poor economic judgment, basically. Apparently, even monkeys do it.
I could do that. I could do that.
I know. We've all done that.
Monkeys with money. There's a story in today's Pasta Tiempo.
There you go.
Let the River Run on Sunday the 25th. Chamber Chorus Coro de Camara is going to be doing folk songs and spirituals at 2:30 p.m. at Christ Church Santa Fe, 1213 Dongaspar Avenue. You can go to corodecamara-nm.org for more information on that. And April in Paris continues.
Yay.
Yay. On Sunday.
Dadu
and Charles. Cabaret performance by Charles Tishner and Ron Dadu Romanofsky, 4 p.m. at Vanessi. Call 982-9966. And I'm sure if you go to the Vanessi website, they have some stuff on there about that, too.
That's right. And if you Google April in Paris, Santa Fe, you'll find it probably that way as well. The Bali Art Project Art Show, featuring students and friends of the Bali Art Project. Artwork and crafts from many countries, including Bali, is this Sunday, the 25th of April, from 11 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. You can call for directions, 988-7209. You can also go to baliartproject.org. And that is a wonderful organization that brings eight high school juniors from this area to the island of Bali every year and gives them a real taste of international culture and travel and survival and all kinds of good things.
Awesome.
And there's dance and music and art.
Dance and music and art. Speaking of dance and music, there's an Earth Week concert at Warehouse 21. It's an all-ages affair. Listen to the name of these bands. Epidemic, Visceral, Quest Ion, and Amish and Citadel. It sounds very ominous, but it's going to be a good show.
Amishness.
That's tonight from 6 to 10 p.m. at Warehouse 21 in the rail yard. There's no charge.
There you go.
The same night, there is a show by the band Man Miracle at 9 p.m. at the Veterans of Foreign Wars on Montezuma Avenue. There's a small cover. If you call 984-2691, you can get more information. Meow Wolf is putting that one on again.
Yay, Meow Wolf.
Yay.
They're so great. I love them. There is a lecture at St. John's College on Wednesday, the 28th of April at 3:15 in the Junior Common Room at the Peterson Student Center by Topi Haikero, who is a tutor at St. John's College. And the title of the lecture is Hans Jonas, Hans Jonas or Hans Jonas on the meaning of morality in a technological world.
Whoa.
Yeah.
They're still taking nominations. We're looking for, this city is looking for a new poet laureate. And you are invited.
The honorable and wonderful Valerie Martinez is retiring from that august position.
Yes, yes. It is time to crown a new poet laureate in Santa Fe.
We certainly have more than a few poets here.
Yeah. If you want to apply, which I'm not sure exactly what that means, but if you visit santafeartscommission.org, you can get details and an application form. If you would, I guess, like to be nominated as the new poet laureate?
Maybe we shall nominate each other.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd vote for you.
I don't write poetry.
Well.
Except limericks, which don't count.
Well, are they dirty limericks?
They're every kind of limerick. I have a limerick for every occasion. Fur Stethoscope performs to benefit the Food Depot. It's a lively and eccentric trio, bassist Paul Brown and poets Zoe Bird and Lauren Camp. KSFR's own Lauren Camp, returning to Santa Fe tomorrow, Saturday, the 24th of April at 7:30 for a music and spoken word performance at Canyon Road Contemporary Art at 403 Canyon Road. And it's all about feeding the hungry and great poets and musicians. Speaking of local poets,
speaking of interesting music, Manby's Head. This band is insane. They are playing with local group Monkey Shines.
Insane in a good way.
Insane in a very, very, very good way. They just released a 6-song EP, and they're going to be here with Monkey Shines at 8 p.m. on Sunday, April 25th at the Underground, which is sort of tucked in the basement of Evangelos. There's a small charge for that. If you call 982-9014, you can get more details. But it's going to be a great show. That's an interesting space down there.
Now, did you mention anything about the Children's Museum yet?
I don't think so.
Okay, so join Francine Foster for Children's Adventures in Art, Thursday, the 29th of April, from 4 to 7 at the Santa Fe Children's Museum. You can get your hands in GAC. What's GAC?
GAC is like, remember that stuff that used to come in a can called slime? Green slime.
And it slime is good.
GAC is a little bit thicker and a little bit more opaque.
That's very, very good. And you can create shiny paintings and drawings, make sandpaper, crayon, melt prints, and toothpick constructions, and all these kinds of good things. And Francine will be selling and signing her book, Children's Adventures in Art. For more information, 473-1067.
What else
the music is playing. How did that happen so fast?
Is it really time?
It is time, ladies and gentlemen. What have we missed? Many things, I'm sure.
Go out there and celebrate Earth Week.
Go out and celebrate Earth Week in your own way. Or join together with others. And we will see you next week. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. I'm Mary Charlotte. Rob DeWalt has been joining us, sitting in for Robert Knott. Speaking of the arts, it's great to have you.
It's good to have you. Maybe I'll come back next week for Hairball Day.
That would be good.
Big celebration.
Yeah, cats versus dogs, which is better. Did you know that it was our listeners voted and it was a virtual tie?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I said at the end, they said it was a tie. I said, well, after we got off the air, I said, who won? Well, actually, dogs won by about maybe 50 votes.
That's pretty close.
It's very close.
That's too close.
So it's a virtual tie.
That's too close.
Yeah. No, it's you have to go to those paper ballots.
But they all deserve homes.
We are on the web at ksfr.org, streaming live. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org, and my podcast site is santaferadiocafe.org. Thanks to Doubtfoil Computer Services, and thanks to them, and thanks to this site. You can hear the show anytime you want. You can hear past shows going back about 3 years. Hope to archive the earlier shows someday, but haven't had time for that yet. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta. And once again, thanks to the wonderful staff and board and volunteers and producers and everybody involved with KSFR. And above all, to our donors and listeners who are helping us to get by in this crazy economy and keep Santa Fe's only public radio station going strong. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista.
Ciao.